Okay, welcome. Good morning. So it was an amazing worship time that we've had this morning. I hope you've come ready to hear from God. I certainly, when I was brushing my teeth this morning, ready to kind of mulling over what I was going to say, I really felt my soul was going. Have you ever heard your soul go? No? Gareth, you must have. You know, I've never really thought of it like that before, but as we look into the Word of God and digest what He has to say to us, I wonder if your soul ever thinks, oh, that's really good. Oh, that's satisfying. That fills me up. And I just wonder if there is something, a little bit of what I have to preach today, that would speak to every one of you. And your soul would go, yes, I want that. Or maybe God has already been speaking to you about it beforehand. And so I really encourage you to open up your ears, to be listening for what God has to speak to us today. I'm continuing a series that Malcolm has started on Ephesians. And if you've not been with us, or if you have, you'll know that recently we've gone through just the first couple of spiritual blessings that we've got in Christ. So as we begin, we looked at how the Ephesians church was started, but then also as we've actually begin to kind of unpack this letter in the first chapter of Ephesians, we've began to see the spiritual blessings that are in store for us. And we've spoken about how we are chosen in Christ. We've spoken about how we are adopted in Christ as well. And what I'd like to do is pause a little bit and just paint a couple of broad brushstrokes for you this morning. Because Malcolm's very detailed and he's been going verse by verse. But I'd just like to, you know, paint a picture of the context of what we're doing this morning. And how are we going to go forward in time as we unpack what the letter of Ephesians has to say to us. So my title this morning is The Active Agents of Spiritual Blessing. The Active Agents of Spiritual Blessing. I was half tempted to actually get my Ray-Ban sunglasses and agents. Yeah, I'm an agent of spiritual blessing. But I thought, no, well, maybe not. But it's a little bit ambiguous. What does it really mean to be active agents of spiritual blessing? Or what is an active agent? What is an agent of spiritual blessing? But before we get to that, just maybe a few comments is that, you know, we've been in Ephesians 1, and really this portion of scripture is lasting until 2 verse 10. So chapter 2 verse 10. And I'm sure it'll be a number of weeks before we actually get to chapter 2, verse 10. But really what it is in this letter, it's a general account of the blessings that we have been given in Christ that the gospel reveals to us. It includes the source of those blessings. It talks about how they're attained. It talks about the reason why they're given as well, and also their final result. What I'm going to do this morning, though, is concentrate on seven verses, chapter 1, verse 7 through to 14. But I would encourage you that it does belong in a wider section from verses 3 to 23. So if we can have the words up on the screen, just from the New Living Translation, verses 7 through to 14. And if you have your Bibles, feel free to follow in that as well. So He is so rich in kindness and grace that He has purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. So God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. So, it's quite a mouthful in that. Malcolm's already mentioned how before, in the last couple of weeks, that that whole, well, and it goes beyond, is that the whole set of scripture from verse 3 verses through to 14 is actually one sentence in the Greek. And it's a really mouthful, real mouthful. I mean, the New Living Translation breaks that up nicely for us. Some of the older translations kind of give us that kind of staggered stop, start, quick succession of the things that we have been blessed with in Christ. So it talks about how we're chosen, how we're adopted, how we have redemption and forgiveness of sins, how we have an inheritance in Christ as well, and how we belong to God, and that's sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you get this real sense that, you know, it's one blessing after another, after another, after another, after another. And it's like once you begin to understand the first one, pow, you're hit with another one. Pow, 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 hit with another one as well. Okay, so it's an amazing set of scripture that not just because of the grammar is so confusing, but, you know, I think that's the meaning it's actually meant to be conveyed to us, is that our blessings that that have been available to us are just one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. You know, I sometimes ask my daughter how she's been doing today. Did she have a nice day? And I can quite, accurately tell how good a day she's had by her response. You know, if I say, did you have a good day today? Yeah. Did you go to nursery? Yeah. So, you know, she didn't really have a good day, right? Actually, sometimes I ask her, did you have a good day? And she's like, oh, yeah, I had some ice cream, and I played some games with Eva, and I went to this, and I went to that, and I did this, and I did that. And you can see the excitement that, you know, is just, you know, part of her whole body, her whole being, is that she's so enjoyed the day, and she's drank it up. I wonder if this is how we believe what has been given to us. You know, do we just drink it up? Do we go, oh yes, and this, and I was, and I'm redeemed, and I'm chosen, and I'm adopted, and I'm this, and I'm that. I wonder if we go to work and someone says, hey, how are you doing? And you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, how was your weekend? Yeah, it was good. Yeah, did you go to church? Yes, I went to church. Yeah. Shall we get on with work? So sometimes we don't realize the spiritual blessings that have been afforded to us in God. And that's really one of the first things that, sprung to my mind is that, you know, we actually need to be more aware, of what's been given to us. So as I've already said, the active agents of spiritual blessing, when I say that seems a bit too theological, I think. It's like, what do you mean? The what? The active agents? What? And then some of you might say who's the active agents of spiritual blessing? So actually what we're going to do today is just unpack a little bit about the who of the spiritual blessings and the what as well. Okay, so the who. Let's do the who first, okay? It's not the band, all right, the who. So I am old enough to know that there was a band named the Who, but I'm not old enough to know that, what they sang or who they are and, you know, what songs they are, okay? So, you know, first thing to say about the who is, actually, this is a really important question, because when we think about spiritual blessings, we don't think about people. You know, we don't think about the who, we think about the what, right? Give me the blessings. I want the blessings. Shower them down on me, Lord. But actually, no, it's more about who gives you the blessings that's important. As we read through, as we just read through, you get the sense that actually, you could focus on the things that are given to you, but actually when you think about who is involved, you notice that the Father is referenced 17 times in that set of scripture. 17 times in 10 verses. That's amazing, right? That's absolutely amazing. And really, I mean, in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30, Scripture says that the God the Father is the source of everything that comes to us. Okay, I won't read it, but you can have a look at that later. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. You might also be surprised to know that, or to notice that the Son, Jesus Christ, is referenced 10 times in all of this set of Scripture. So 17 times for the Father, 10 times for the Son. How many times for the Spirit? The Spirit is mentioned once. Okay, and it's not because he is less important. They weren't kind of bartering, you know, I'll have 10, you have 5, you know, give me that 5, and you get the 1. No, they weren't, they're not in competition, and we shouldn't be thinking of the Trinity and, you know, Father and most important than the Son, than the Holy Spirit. They are all involved in our blessing that comes to us as Christian believers. As I've said, the Father is the source of the blessing. You could think of Christ as the means or the way in which that blessing has been provided for us. And you could also think about this Holy Spirit as the effective agent that actually engages us, that fires us up, that meets us and empowers us and makes it real to our lives. You know, it's funny how when someone asks me, how are you feeling? And I'm thinking, I'm really grateful. I'm really blessed. You know, I'm blessed. God's just given me a new job recently. I'm blessed. You know, God's providing for me. I'm blessed. You might be thinking that as well when you think, oh yeah, you know, I got to see my parents-in-law here. And so I'm blessed because all of these things are happening in my life. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing to feel blessed. But actually, we need to remember as well that Paul is writing this in prison. He's not feeling blessed, right? He's not being given loads of money. And, you know, he wasn't living in the type of culture that we're living in today, in the sense that he has everything that he could ever dream for. And I wonder if that's the blessings that we think of as well as we go about our daily lives. Oh, you know, I've got a really good job. I've got more pay. I've got a really nice car. I've got a Sky TV package. I've got this, I've got that. Yeah, we can think of ourselves as blessed by, you know, having everything that we could think of that actually just satisfies us. But actually, Paul was satisfied in prison. Because, why? He wasn't thinking about the material things that he's been given. He was thinking about, actually, no matter what happens to me in this life, I'm in prison, I could be on death row. No matter what happens to me in life, I've been given these things. I've been chosen in Christ. I've been adopted. And what we'll see as well, we've been redeemed. And that's really, really important that, all too often our culture makes us think that our blessings come from the things that we see and the things that we get to enjoy in this world. But actually, our blessings, the real blessings, are things that need to be dug out of the Word of God. And that might sound very strange to people that don't know the Lord, but it really is sometimes something that we need to remind ourselves as well as we go about living in our lives through our work days, through our work weeks. And I would say that's very important. Okay, the reason for this is because, you know, our culture just can actually make our minds skew. It can divert our mind. You know, culture, the enemy, our flesh. It can make us concentrate on other things. We can be distracted by the blessings that we have in our lives. And actually, you know, what is more real is what God has given to us spiritually. You know, there was a book that came out in 1952. It was called The Power of Positive Thinking. And the person who wrote this book was a Norman Vincent Peale. Now, this guy was a minister. And he wrote this book about, and this book, who's read it? Yay, good, Amanda. So one of us has read, well, I haven't even read it. Let me just take the water. Yeah, so The Power of Positive Thinking. And this really sparked a whole movement of positive thinking and success-orientated, books and literature that, can actually help you to psych yourself up, maybe, or just improve yourself, have more blessings in your life, create more success in your life. And what's surprising is this guy was a minister, and yet he was writing about how the fact that we can actually create our own success in our lives, we can be fulfilled by the way we are thinking. And yes, there is maybe a slight tint of truth to that. But actually, if you take that as the message someone has given you, it's saying that you have the power to create a satisfaction and enjoyment. You have the power to create success in your life. And that's what you should strive after, right? We live in a world that, we can do better. We can get a better job. We can study. We can improve. How sad that is if we just focus on that. Is that all that life has? Is that all the blessings that we have to be rich, to be satisfied with what we have? Actually, God shows us that it is from His Word, it is the spiritual blessings that actually matter the most. And that's what we've got to bear in mind as well, is that when we begin to think about the blessings that we have and who gives us these blessings, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, there's no us in that, in the sense that we create that ourselves. It is given to us. Our blessings that are available to us in Christ is not on our own merit. It's not of our own doing. We can't just conjure it all up. It has to be from God. And if we lose sight of that, if we think about the blessings and we lose sight of who it's from, then we're going astray. And I would encourage you not to be thinking like that. I would encourage us all to be thanking God for our blessings, not because He gives us blessings, but because of who He is to us. So that's a little bit about the who. Let's talk a little bit about the what now. And as I said, we're going to touch on broad brushstrokes, okay? What I wanted to talk about is four main concepts. And I'll highlight that is redemption. Number one is redemption. Number two is revelation of His will. Number three is an inheritance. We've been given an inheritance. And number four, we have a belonging. Okay, I've not done the slides, but I've just wanted to kind of highlight that as we go ahead. Not too sure how much time we'll have at the end, but that's what I plan to do, okay? So let's go into these individual blessings then. So redemption. We can find that from verses 7 and 8, where the scripture says that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness for our trespasses, according to the riches of grace that He lavished on us. So we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins, or the forgiveness of sins. When you think about redemption, it's a bit of a strange word. Some of us might have, might know a lot about redemption, and certainly as Christians we have experienced redemption. But actually, where it comes from is like a market terminology, a market kind of term of clearing a debt or buying back something that was destined to be destroyed or destined to be killed or sacrificed. When I was preparing for this, a book that I read and was read to me as I was a child was Charlotte's Web. And I was thinking of a pig. You don't think of a pig being redeemed, right? But in Charlotte's Web, there's a story about this pig that is the runt of the litter, and he gets fed up, as in fed up with like buttermilk and loads of food, and that. He just didn't get fed up and go, I'm fed up. No. So the farmers decide, right, they're going to sacrifice this pig. It's going to take it to market. We're going to kill this pig. We're going to get money for it. And in order to do that, we need to feed him up. So they give him loads of buttermilk. Just buttermilk is what I remember about this story. And this pig befriends a spider named Charlotte. And if you know the story, Charlotte makes it seem that this pig is so worthwhile, so valuable that it shouldn't be destroyed. It shouldn't be sacrificed. Or it shouldn't be killed and just got the money for. So actually, the farmer decides, right? No, I'm gonna bring this pig back from the edge of destruction, and the pig survives the book. So it's fine to read to your children, okay? it's actually probably, I think it's one source said it was the best selling book for a children's book in recent times. So Charlotte's Web is what I think about. It's about this pig was the owner was feeding this pig up and building it up so it could be destroyed. And that's what our destiny is for, just like the pig's destiny was to be destroyed. Our destiny is actually to be destroyed. For our sins, we're going to destruction and death, separate from God. And, you know, yes, we've been chosen, yes, we've been adopted, but I really think that this is one of the core principles or the core blessings that we have in Christ. It should be first. But anyway, we can talk about that afterwards if you like. But redemption, for the forgiveness of our sins, is actually the most amazing blessing that we could be afforded. We were just singing about it in worship that, you know, we were broken. We were guilty. And now we're flooded with mercy. We're being forgiven. And actually, we're going to be redeemed. What I'd like to point out as well is that redemption is an already but not yet reality. We've been redeemed, yes? Yes? Who thinks we haven't been redeemed? Who thinks we are going to be redeemed? So we have been redeemed. So it sounds a bit strange that I'm saying, no, we haven't been redeemed yet. Actually, if you look to verse 14, where it says, this is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people. Towards redemption. It's a forward-looking reality, as well as something that we have now. Right? We've been forgiven for our sins, no question about it. But actually, redemption is coming in the future. It's now that we have it and we can enjoy it, but actually there comes a day where redemption will be true and full. If you look at chapter 4, verses 30, Paul writes, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal, for the day of redemption." There is a day of redemption, guys. We often think of the day of judgment, right? That there is coming a day of judgment where everyone's going to be judged. Actually, that day is, yes, there is a day of redemption, but that day is also the day of redemption, where everything that was forgiven actually gets made, finished, that's done. There's no more waiting. We are in a period where we're waiting for the redemption of our souls, and we begin to experience that now, and that's an amazing blessing. So what does it mean? Why would that be important to be thinking, right, we're not yet? Yes, we are, but no, we're not yet. Can I also tell you something you might not have been thinking? We are also still destined for destruction. Mm. We are destined for destruction. Sitting here, we're destined for destruction. Why? Because that was our original destiny. We are meant to be like the pig. Destroyed. We're fed up with this world, and we're eating and satisfying ourselves with all the things that this culture has to bring to us, all the things that this life has to be bringing. If we only do that, and we don't tap into what the blessings are that that come to us through Christ, through God, we don't realize this, that actually in our culture we are being fed on things that don't matter, whether it's money, possessions, success. We might be seeking after things that actually don't matter in the long run. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being successful. Maybe you have a business, maybe you have a good job. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. Please hear me out. What is actually important is that we're tapping into what God has for us. And maybe what God has for you is through your job, is through the success that you have. Maybe it's through the business that you've started, or maybe it's just through, you know, being a mother or being in school. You can tap into God's blessings through that. But please don't think it's about the things that you see every day and you want to chase after every day as well. In Peter 1 verses 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says the devil lurks around, he's prowling around, like a roaring lion, like a hungry lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's for us. That's talking to you and me, right? When Paul leaves the church of Ephesus in Acts 20, he writes to them and he says, beware, watch out, because there are people coming to you that are going to lead you astray. There is a plan still to destroy you. The devil is going to want to destroy you, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, and that's always been our destiny. And actually, that is why we need to be thinking all the time that, yes, Satan might have a plan for us next week, next month. You know, maybe he's been trying to meddle in your lives recently, and you've been thinking, oh, I just feel like I'm not receiving God's blessing. I'm stuck. I'm maybe coasting. Actually, you know, if we tap into God, into the blessings that he has for us, we can guard against ourselves, against the things that would trip us up, that would mean to destroy us and pull apart the things that God has for us in our lives. So, let's move on to the second concept then, the revelation of his will. And that's, you can see it in verse 8. So Ephesians 1 verse 8. And that's going to 9. So he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So guys, this is the mystery of his will, that he is actually going to gather up all things in time on one day, that he will actually bring everything under Christ. You know, this is found in other scriptures as well. And so in John chapter 1, it talks about how all of creation was created through the Word, for the Word, by the Word. Yeah? And if you think of Colossians 1 as well, it talks about the supremacy of Christ, and that there will be one day everything will be caught up and it will just come under Christ, because, you know, that's what the plan is. That's what his will is. You know, I wonder, you know, throughout my younger years, I'm not old yet, hopefully, through many of my younger years, I've been thinking to God, what am I here for? What am I meant to do? I'm thinking, well, should I be an accountant? Should I be this? Should I be that? And often young people, I still kind of struggle with it, is that we're often asking God, what is it that I'm here for? What am I meant to be doing? You know, God has a plan for my life, and it's a plan to prosper me, a plan to bless me, to be a blessing to other people as well. But what is it? What is it that you want me to do? And actually, if we're thinking so individually that what God has got you to do, yes, we're all different, but actually we all come under one plan. And we don't really need to be thinking, oh, what is it? I don't know what it is. Let's search through my life thinking about what is it that God has for me. Actually, it's to be caught up in this whole plan to bring everything under Christ, to bring everything into redemption and to consummate creation, basically, to wrap it up and live in a new creation, a new earth, and worship God forever. It's just amazing that how many times we, you know, lose sight of that. We always think of, you know, God's will is a mystery to us. We don't know what it is. Actually, if we're living our Christian life, you know, what is more real for us? Is it something that we're individually involved in? That, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. Yes, there is callings that are individual to us. But if we lose sight of what the whole bigger picture is, the broad brushstroke of what God is doing for us, for humanity, for mankind, for all of creation, then we're missing it. We're just thinking too much about ourselves. And I would encourage you to be thinking that way. If you've been struggling with God, what God has been calling you to recently or over the past years, don't get caught up with that. Don't get caught up with don't get caught up with the blessings that we have in this life. Also, don't get caught up with what is it that I'm supposed to do myself. You know, it's really not important, really, to God if you're an accountant or if you're an administrator, or you're a teacher, or you're a lecturer, or a policeman. What is important to God is that you're actually living your life and in such a way that when you do your job, you're actually tapping into what God has for you. And whether that, you know, if you're involved in a job that distracts you from that calling that you have in Christ, or whether it's, you know, something that's actually taking you forward into that, I would, you know, I just encourage you that it's really something that's important that we need to be thinking about, to be asking the Holy Spirit's wisdom for that. Because if we're just thinking about our own individual lives, then we're missing the point. How am I doing for time? So just 5 minutes. So as I'm kind of wrapping up here, I want to talk a little bit about how we heirs of inheritance and how we have a belonging in Christ as well. verse 11 and 12 speaks about our inheritance, where it says that in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Guys, we are marked with a seal that speaks of our belonging, that God says, you are mine. Yes, maybe you did destined for destruction, or you were destined for destruction. Actually, we are predestined for God's people. We are predestined to actually belong to God's family and to the church, to what God is creating for us in the body of Christ. You know, often we think of inheritance as well. You know, am I getting an inheritance? I don't think I'm getting money inheritance. But, you know, many people can get caught up with, you know, when their parents die, what am I going to get? Okay? Or they might be thinking in terms of, well, I'm working this job and, you know, I'm going to get to be a director one day. Or I'm going to be this one day or that one day. And actually, I'll be able to retire and live on the inheritance of what I've earned for myself. That's also a sad way to live, because what you're doing is you might be putting yourself through pain and struggle now, and you're thinking, right, when I retire, or even now, I might be able to tap into an inheritance in terms of wealth or a peaceful life. Things that we have an inheritance in this life is not important, from what we know of, you know, where your treasure is, your heart is, from Jesus' words. And he also talks about, the inheritance of the saints later on in the book of Ephesians. So, you know, this is going to be a theme that actually carries on in our inheritance as the saints of God. Our inheritance is linked to who we are. And Malcolm spoke a little bit about adoption as well before in the last week, about how you know, one son can be a son of a slave, a couple can be bought by the Roman couple, and he enters into the whole inheritance of that family now. That is what's true for us as well, not because of who we are in just in ourselves, but because Christ has bought us with a price through redemption of his blood. We are called and we are predestined for him according to his purposes, that we can actually inherit the kingdom of God. And as I said, that's an already but not yet reality of redemption. It is something that we tap into now. You know, I would encourage you, have you come to church today and you thought, oh, wow, that's a breath of fresh air? And it certainly was for me. You come to worship and you know, you feel the presence of God. And that's an amazing reality to feel that God is speaking to you. It certainly should be something that we hear all the time. How often do we come to church and we have to kind of wipe our eyes with the fog that we've been living through the week? You know, you might have been thinking, you know, not thinking of God at all, and your whole reality is just what you're just meant to do, lots of work, you know, be successful, provide for your family. And that's true. But actually, an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance, is what we can actually tap into now. And it's not just for Sunday. It's for actually every day of the week. We can live by, we can bring the Lord's blessings into our lives by being agents of God's blessing. So when I spoke a little bit before about how, Father, Son, Holy Spirit are agents of blessing, actually I missed out of saving this for last, is that you're inheritant, you are an agent for God's blessings, Percy. You are inheritant. You are an agent for God's blessings, Charles. I'm an agent. You're an agent. The question is, how active are you? Are you caught up? Are you distracted by the things of this world? Are you just kind of coasting along on the roller coaster of life, going up and going down, experiencing blessing, experiencing hardship? Or is it actually something that can be real for you, that you can actually be experiencing every single day of your life? Just like Paul, sitting in a prison cell, and he decides to write about the amazing blessings that he has in Christ and that we have in Christ to this church in Ephesians, in Ephesus. So I just wonder, as we're beginning to think about that, I just want to give you, I want to close with an illustration. We've been struggling financially. I've lost my job and God provided another one. And I've been feeling really pressured for money, thinking, oh, God, yes, I've always believed that God is providing for us, but we don't have enough. Where's it going to come from? Where's it going to come from? And I've really been having to lean on God. And actually, the other week I was walking to the shop and I was thinking, normally I go to the shop and I think, right, what's the least amount that I can buy that would provide for the family and not have to spend too much money? This kind of poverty mindset that some of us have or struggle with and not necessarily have. But actually, I was walking through to the shops and I was thinking, wow, I'm blessed. Not because of the money or anything like that. I'm blessed. I've got my family. I love the Lord with all my heart. He's in relationship with me. I was just really, really happy and feeling fulfilled. And I was walking to the shop and I had £5 in my rucksack. And there was a poor person that was, homeless person on the street, just sitting there looking really despondent, looking like he's got no hope in the world. And normally I walk past these people and I'm like, don't look, don't look, don't look, right? But actually I thought, I'm not going to spend that £5. I'm going to use my card on the shopping. So what is that £5 worth to me? So actually, I gave the £5 to him. I walked straight up to him and he was thinking like this, because I'd walked into the shop and he asked me, can I shook his tin at me? And I was like, no, that's what I'm going for. I'm going for food. And actually God convicted me and said, right, you're feeling blessed. Why don't you bless him? So what I did was I came out of the shop and I took my £5 out and I gave it to him. And I went right up to him and he was like, as I walked closer to him, he was like, what is he going to do to me? I've asked him for money and now he's going to beat me up or something. That wasn't the case. So actually, as I gave him the money, he was surprised. I was surprised as well, because the emotion that I had welling up in my heart, in my body, was just amazing. I've got so much more than this guy, and I have been worried about where my food's coming from, where the provision's coming from for my family. And actually, there's so many people that are less fortunate for us, and that actually comes in the scripture as well, that that we are called to provide for the poor. We are called to give out. And if we're not tapping into the blessings that God has given to us, we're not giving out either. I made a deal with, well, not really a deal, kind of a test or kind of a game with God. I thought, right, God, I'm giving this guy £10. If you give me, £5. If you give me £10, I'll also give that out. I'll give that out to someone. So you know what happened? I don't think it was the next day, it was the next week, someone gave me £10. And I hadn't earned it. And I thought, what's this for? And the person said, just take it, I don't need it. Great, okay, put it in my pocket. That's my play money, that's my game money. I wasn't thinking, right, what can I buy with that? Actually, who am I going to give it to? And I was thinking, ha ha, right, God, I'm going to give that £10 out. I don't think you're going to give me the £20. Mm. Well, maybe. Yeah. I think I did believe he would give me the £20, okay? So I'm looking for who to give it out to, and I don't see who I'm going to give the £10 out to. Actually, I've still got it. Still got the £10, and I'm thinking, who am I going to give it out to? But you know the amazing thing that happened? Someone else gave me £20 before I've been able to give that out. And that's actually an illustration that we'd be thinking, right, okay, my game is that I'll give something out, God gives me something back. I'll give something out, God gives me something back. And the game is that he doubles it, right? And that's great. So we'll get to £100, £200. Amen. Testing your faith there, right? But actually, the amazing thing, that God's grace is that he gives me before I could give out. So God, you can't outgive God.
No.
You can never outgive God. I'm still looking for this person there. Who wants £10, please? You know, I'll give it to him. God gave me. He honored his deal before I honored my part of the deal. And with you, God will honor your part of his part of the deal before you go out and honor your part of the deal. It's not something that, you know, you have to struggle and strive for, but actually, God is wanting to just shower all his blessings onto you so that you can give out to other people. And I wonder if there's anything that, from what I've said to you this morning, that might resonate just a little bit with you, whether it's redemption and we haven't really been walking in this truth that we can actually experience this wholeness for the forgiveness of our sins. Are we constantly plagued? I know I am, by the sins that I commit, the things that I fall short of in the week. Are we constantly thinking, oh, you know, I'm just not good enough? Maybe God is wanting to speak to someone here today, myself included, and that actually your sins are forgiven, gone. But what you need to do as well is be sober of mind. Watch out for the enemy's plans, this plan of destruction to actually come and, even as you're a Christian, it's a plan to actually wipe you out. But you're not going to be wiped out because you belong to Jesus. You belong to him and nothing can take that away. Nothing can separate us from the love that we have in Christ Jesus. Maybe it's something that God is speaking to you about this morning, that, you know, this maybe one or two things that you haven't been tapping into the Holy Spirit. You haven't been really living, you know, this truth of actually our calling is wrapped up in this whole body of Christ. Or are you still be thinking, oh, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Actually, there is freedom for you this morning if you only ask God for it. Maybe it's something that you've been thinking about money. You've been thinking, oh man, you know, I'm really blessed by the job that I have and God has given me more money. You need to be freed from that because that is not wholly what God has for you. Your inheritance and your belonging as part of the body of Christ it can't be satisfied what the culture has for you, what this world has for you. It's really something that has to come from God. And, you know, I certainly feel myself as I've been thinking, I'm mulling over this over. You know, from what we've said before is that, you know, the first kind of part of the chapter is one whole sentence in the Greek. Actually, the next sentence, Paul bursts into thanks for the church. And he thinks, right, church, I really thank the Lord because of you. And he repeats the blessings. And I'm thinking, why is he doing that? You know, actually, he's praying through these blessings. How often do we learn something about God? We read it in Scripture. We don't mull it over. We don't apply it in our lives. We just think, oh, that was a nice sermon, or that was a nice word of knowledge that someone gave me. Oh, great. 2 weeks later, you've forgotten about it. Actually, God wants us to be feasting on his word, on his rich blessings that come to us through Jesus from our Father, and is active when the Holy Spirit engages us and makes us a force, a formidable force in this world. And I wonder as we, I just want to create an opportunity for anyone who feels that God has been speaking to them this morning to actually respond to him. whether it's about prayer, whether it's about money, whether it's about what you strive after in terms of success or your business, related work, your work-related life. Do we sometimes, go out into the world and it's like we're walking through a fog, and we're actually part of that fog. There is a fog in this culture that actually distracts us away from following the path that we're called to in Christ. We can get distracted, and we can feel like there's no hope when we're going through our lives. And we think, where's the truth coming from? Is it coming from what we're seeking after in this world, in this life? Or is it what is coming for us in the next life that we can actually enter into now? It's certainly something that I'm learning myself as well. There's a lot of areas that I'm growing in God. And I just wonder if there's something that one bit or maybe the whole lot that you just actually want to respond to. I wonder if we can sing that song about how we were broken. We were guilty. But now we're drowning in mercy. This is the blessing that we have from God, in that we can actually tap into what God has for us. We can receive it now. You don't have to wait until you get home. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to wait until the day of redemption, although you do. But you can receive everything that God has for you now and walk in this truth. And I wonder if anyone wants to come forward and receive some prayer, then that would be most welcome. If you feel that you want to respond just by singing through the song that we're actually gonna sing through in worship in the next couple of minutes, then that's fine as well. If you just want to respond through worship and singing and thanking God for what He's given you, that's fine. However you want to respond, that's okay. But I would encourage you that if you feel that you've been walking through this life recently or throughout your whole life and you've not been tapping into what the Lord has for you, then I would ask that you would come forward and receive prayer. Whether it's for healing, whether it's for any part of your life that you want to receive from God. I'll just pray and then we can sing, and anyone wants to come forward, they're welcome to. So, dear Father God, we thank you for everything that you have for us. I thank you that you've given us a hope and a future. I thank you that you've saved us from destruction, Lord. You've redeemed us by the blood of Christ. Lord, you've given us a belonging in your family, in your church, in your creation that cannot be taken away by the things of this world. You've given us an inheritance that we can actually experience in life now. And we thank you that your will for us is not something that's secret and hidden away. Your will for us is to actually be blessed so that we can receive, we can pass on that blessing. We can learn from you and we can teach others. Lord, we can respond to you, even just the fact that we can pray to you and thank you for the blessings that you have for us. What an amazing privilege that we have, Lord Jesus. We just ask that you meet with every single one of us here today, Lord, as we respond in our own way, whether we come forward or whether we sing in our seats or stand, Lord. We just ask that you meet us, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, ignite in our lives something that was never there before. Ignite in our lives something that we once had and we felt we lost it because we got distracted by the things of this world, by the cares of this world and the blessings that we've been striving after. Lord, renew our lives, renew our minds, so that we can actually walk through the fog and see very clearly. We see the truth that you have for us and we walk in that. And we actually, as we walk, we rescue people by telling them about what God has for them, what God has done for them. Lord, renew our lives. Just meet us here this morning, Lord God. In your precious name, Lord Jesus.